I appreciate the goodness of God in the service this morning. How wonderful our God is. The other day, actually it was last Sunday evening, I was in the office and the door was cracked just a little bit and I heard a tap on it, and it was Statler. He walked up to the desk and put his elbow on the desk. He said, "Guess what? Y'all'd have to know him." I said, "What?" "I think I'm going to be a preacher when I get big." I said, "You go. You go." I mean, that's just as serious could be, you know. I said, "What makes you think you want to be a preacher?" I'm thinking about the desk and the chair. He said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the Lord." Tonight, I want to speak to you on helpless but hopeful. Helpless. Really, when you're talking about helplessness, you're talking about literally no hope. Helplessness but hopeful. I was helpless one day. You were. But somewhere burning in my spirit was the idea of hope. I won't die. I won't die like this. I won't die a sinner, lost and undone without God. There was hope. And one day that hope materialized. I've got three passages, three areas of Scripture that I'm going to go to. And I'll go ahead and read them. And then let the projector be killed and we'll take it, make some comments. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. This is a song of David. I don't know the context, but the Bible bears out that it is a psalm of David. I don't know where he was at particularly. I've not read commentaries about that, but he was in a predicament. He was in a serious condition. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Verse number 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me," or "he inclined unto me," I keep saying, "and he heard my cry." Would you now turn with me to the book of Genesis? Remember this, the psalmist was where when this was written? Say it good. He was in a pit. He was in a horrible pit. And there was no inclination that somebody was going to come breezing by and pull him out. What do you do when you end up in a pit? And you and I will at some time end up in a pit. No escape, no ladder, no escape route. Here is the clue, the information that you do and deal with in your pit. "I waited patiently." He didn't come today, but he'll come tomorrow. "My deliverance didn't come this afternoon, but tomorrow's coming." Am I talking? See, when you lose hope, go ahead and get the dirt thrown on your head. As long as there's breath in your body, there's reason to have hope. I waited patiently. I didn't chew my fingernails on the Lord, for the Lord. And at some time he came. Let me ask you, there are people in this audience tonight that you've been in a jam. You've had your back against the wall, so to speak. But you learned how to apply this passage. Job, what are you doing? I don't know, but I do know one at one some point he's going to come. Okay, let's move over to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. 37. Did I tell you? Chapter 37. And let's read a passage from Genesis chapter 37, verses 23, 24, and 28. It came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him, they being his brothers, took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. David's pit had miry clay. This pit had no water. His brothers did that. Verse number 24. And now verse number 28, it would say, then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. They didn't know it. They could not know it, but they were assisting God. Hello? Joseph has got destiny. He is to be in Egypt. That's his assignment. That's his calling. And all these Midianite merchantmen were doing, they, unbeknown to them, all his brothers were doing, unbeknown to them, they were helping speed up the will of God. When you went to your pit, did you realize that maybe it was destiny? Okay, let's go one more place. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm talking about these pits tonight. Not Kenny Pitts. Let's read from 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 20. But Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab, and he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. Helpless but hopeful. Father, help me tonight to speak the truth of your word to our mind and to our heart. Be glorified, God, unto our Sika. Oh, my Father, lay your hand upon us tonight, God. We'll give you praise and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Can the church say amen? I read to you information concerning three different situations, and all three of them dealt with pits. We don't plan them. We don't scheme them. We don't say, well, we better, there's one in our pathway. But we do not know when it's going to happen. We don't know the circumstances. And I want to use these pits in a symbolic way, symbolizing our dealing with God. In Psalm chapter 40, there's a literal personal pit that David was in. Something David endured. He didn't appreciate it, didn't like it, but it was there. It was a pit where miry clay covered his feet. No use in trying to get out because it's impossible. No exit. And David comes to the conclusion, the only thing I can do is cope with it the best I can and be patient. Impatience ruins a lot of the things that God will do in our life. And David just bided his time. Something in David's mind said, God has got a purpose in my life. Are you hearing me? David is remembering Samuel with that horn of oil. David understands that God does not waste his callings. If God called him when he was a teenager, he's not experienced his calling yet. He's laying there and he tabulates these things in his mind. God must not be through with me yet. He poured that horn of oil on my mind, on my head. He put the fragrance of a perfume upon me, and I've not been a king. If God did that, I'm supposed to be a king at some point. So David rationalizes. That's what you do when you got your back. Your pit is not 8 foot deep and all that. Your pit is mental places. Am I talking to you? Depression. Mess that tries to get your back against the wall. And when you do that, when he gets you again in a jam, then he begins to beat you up. He begins to hammer your head and say, this is the last ditch. But what do? You start evaluating. I was 16. I'm just evaluating. I was 16 when the Lord saved me. He put something in my heart that I'm supposed to do. I've not done it yet. And if I've not done it yet, I must be going to do it. And if I'm going to do it, I cannot do it in this hole. Am I talking to you? Peter was put in prison. And they're going to kill him the next day. And he's sleeping. Guards around him, but he's sleeping. How can you sleep, mister, when you know they've already killed James and they're going to kill you? Don't worry about it. You remember on the shore of Galilee when the fire was burning and the fish was cooking? Do you remember that Jesus said, when you're young, you'll go where you want to go, but when you're old, if Jesus said, I'm going to get old, I ain't going to die in this prison. Oh, come on here, y'all. If Jesus said, I'm going to get old, I'm going to get old. I don't know how the prison's going to spring. I don't know how the door's going to open. I don't know what they're doing over at Rhoda's house. But somewhere, somehow, before that axe comes on my head, I'm getting out of here. Hello? Prayer was made of the church unto God on his behalf. And the angel comes to him and said, rise up and hurry. Am I talking to you? Oh, hallelujah to God. So many people in the scripture got their back against the wall and then they lost out. But there's a pit and David is in that pit. And he looks around and he says, I'm anointed to be a king. And there's nobody for me to lord over in this pit. Somewhere, somehow or other, God is going to lift me up. And something, I don't know the scenario, I don't know what happened, but the hand of God can reach into any pit that the devil's ever put you in. Do you understand that? It might be a mental pit, it might be a physical pit, it might be an emotional pit, but the hand of God. God is used to reaching down in pits. God is used to reaching down in perplexing situations. And somewhere in that whole drama, somewhere God, I waited patiently upon God, and I was in a pit, in a horrible pit. And God, I don't know how God did it. I don't know who he did it with, who did it through, who he used. I don't know none of the details. But something woke up in David and got him by the nape of the neck and pulled him up out of the pit. And David said, thank God. Am I preaching to you? Hallelujah to God. He's helpless. He's helpless. See, that's the best place you can get right there is when you quit fighting. Helpless. I can't get. If I get out of here, it's going to be God. Have you ever been that way? If I ever get out of this predicament, if I ever get out of this mess, it will be God that gets the credit. And God says, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Am I preaching the truth to you? Oh, how we try to avoid the pits, but God may have them in our pathway for our education, for our tutoring. God never promised you that you're just going to have life as a whatever. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be problems and perplexities and trouble. And David come out of that pit. But he learned something. He observed something. He knew that if you wait long enough, God will come to your rescue. If you wait long enough, God will rescue you from your mess that you're going through. Anybody ever seen that? Anybody ever had that happen? Hallelujah to God. He's a wonderful God. And so then David wrestles around and he goes through more jams, but he don't go into more pits that we read of. He's liberated. It might be that on his way to his kingship, he goes through the most horrible time. How many know on your route to God's will for your life, you're going to go through some aggravations. You're going to go through some, hello? You're going to go through some aggravations. I can promise you that, amen? All right? See, now, where are the answers at? God can send his angel, but he didn't do it. I don't know how David got out of the pit, but he got out. Am I talking to you? He got out. He come out, amen, and the outcome was for the glory of God. We need to understand that when we end up in a pit, God will deliver us. Anybody ever been delivered from the crises? Anybody ever been delivered from the situation? God is a mighty good God. Am I talking to you? He's a mighty good God. I remember hearing, I just looked over and saw Sister Ellen. I remember when we first got to know Sister Ellen, she had been through some trauma. She was in a pit. But you don't have to turn your pit into misery. Misery loves company, and I don't want to get in your pit with you. I'll lean over the side of it, and I'll say, God bless you and help you and all that kind of stuff. But I remember Sister Ellen going through, having just gone through some trauma, some situations, and God's today, look at her. She's doing great. She's been a blessing to our church, and she's been a great testimony for God. I look at all different ones in here. You've been through so many. Your pits have been real. Amen. Gary forms a tree. He, by all means, he should be dead. He was a bicycle victim. By all means, I mean, these accidents were not just freaky things that were real. But look at them tonight. They're in the house of God, worshiping God, glorifying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Anybody? Hello? I'm just thinking about different ones in the church have been through cancer, been through all kinds of problems. Brother Fraley is going through some visual problems right now, but it might be tonight that God comes by his pit. Amen? Hallelujah. Get the faith going in your mind and in your heart. Brother John is going through some trouble with big time trouble with his hands. Broke open, bleeding. And that's his pit right now. But the God that he honors and serves knows about those hands. And at some point, Brother James and Sister Doris, they're going through some health problems. And it's serious stuff. That's their pit. But God is able to reach down in their pit and say, it's over with. Your victory's yours. Amen? So if you end up tomorrow morning in a dilemma, you got consolation. There have been people that have gone before you. Amen? There have been people that have suffered and overcome. The best way that I can equate with David is to say he come out. Amen? He came out. Am I talking to you? Glory to God. All right, number two. I'm wondering if y'all are with me. But number two, the second pit has to do with a period of destiny. Joseph. I don't know how David fell in the pit. I don't know how David ended up in the pit. But Joseph was thrown in there. I can handle stumbling in it better than I could be thrown in it. I can handle falling into the pit better than I could be somebody manhandle me. You wouldn't feel so bad. But he's in the pit. The story, he dreams a dream, and you know the story. I'm not going to hash it out. But the great problem with Joseph is he didn't keep a secret. He didn't keep the dream of God to himself. He began to tell his brothers about it. And no family wants to see the runt of the family doing all the talking. Joseph said, I dreamed a dream. He was excited. He was thrilled that God, it was a real dream, and he just wanted to tell. So then he goes and tells Jacob and his mother about it, and they say, you know, be quiet about it. But it stirred up. See, when God blesses you, it stirs the devil up in other people. I'm serious. Well, if God did that, why don't God do that for me? They don't deserve, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff, you know. But Joseph told his brothers, and it created jealousy. It created anxiety in them, and they begin to hatch up all kind of mess that they're going to do. And Jacob says, go check on your brothers. Hello? See how they're doing? And Joseph, innocent, goes down and checks on his brother. He asked the herdsman, where are my brothers at? He is at Dothan. Hello? Do you remember Dothan? Later on in the book of Kings, Elisha, 2 Kings, Elisha and his servant, they go to Dothan, and there's chariots of fire. Hello? I mean, Elisha has got spiritual perspective and a vision. He looks around, and the air is full of chariots and horsemen. And the servant, oh, what are we going to do? And Elisha simply says, open his eyes. Let him see. But then when Joseph goes to Dothan, there's no fire chariot. Hello? Well, see, do you understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, if God did it for Elisha, why didn't God do it for Joseph? I mean, he did it for Joseph. Joseph went there before Elisha did, but why would God do something? Why would God show one this miracles? I don't understand that, but God will manifest himself to you some way. Did I get that point across to you? Oh, if I go to Allegood Church of God, I know what's going to happen. God's going to heal me. God's going to deliver me. How do you know that? Because I talked to two people last November and they were in a service and the choir was singing and people running the building. We got healed. And so you say, if I can just go to Allegood, and so you come to Allegood and the choir's dead and the preacher's dead and the service is dead and you wonder what's going on, amen. And somehow we put God in a box, and God says he's got to have, God can't work. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? We get a mental attitude that God can't work unless the music's going 99, unless the singing's going 102, I'm not criticizing that, but God can work if there's not a flea moving. Am I right? Don't conjure up your ideas about the concept about God. I mean, I love when the Spirit moves. I love when people manifest and rejoice, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't change the power of God one bit in the world. Amen. There's going to be times that you'll hear God in the thunder. There'll be times that you'll hear God in the lightning and in the wind. But there's going to be other times that you'll hear God in a still, small voice. I don't care how he speaks. I want him talking. I want God talking. Hello? Because when I know people that have strained relationship has limited conversation. Hello? Building that other building. The building was dried in, whatever, all that carpenter stuff, you know, that talk. And I was in there. I wasn't working. I had to go do something, answer one of the contractors or something. I don't know what it was. But a tap come on the window, open windows, you know, they hadn't been sealed in. And I looked and I recognized the guy that was there. I just knew him just by, hey, how you doing? I had no conversation with him. He said, can I talk with you for a moment? Sure. And he said, I want prayer. I need help in my marriage. And I said, well, anything I can do, I'll be whatever. He said, my wife, listen to me, y'all. My wife and I have lived in the same house for a long time. And for the last 5 months, We walk past each other in the hallway. We come in from work. There's not been one single solitary word uttered between us in 5 months. I said, you're in trouble. He said, oh, don't tell me. I know I'm in trouble. When you quit talking, somebody's going to start walking. Hello? I mean, here's the thing about it. Somebody help me out. Joseph couldn't get out. He's talking. He's communicating. He's telling his brothers about his dream, and it creates hostility in his brothers. Preachers, no, I ain't gonna go there. So Joseph goes to Dothan, and his brothers see him coming, and they say, we got our chance. See, they don't know it, but they are assisting God. Don't you know the devil assists God in his ignorance? And they say, well, here comes the dreamer. He's not coming to do it. He's just coming to bring them news of their dad, bring them some provisions. And here comes the dreamer. And Joseph comes up and they conjure up the idea, what we'll do, we'll kill him. And Reuben said, no. No use in doing that. Judah kind of defended him a little bit. No use in doing that. Let's just, instead of killing him, let's just throw him. There's a pit near. Oh, the devil's always going to make sure there's a pit near somewhere when you want to discard somebody, when you want to brush away somebody. There's a pit there. And they said, let's throw him in the pit. And one of them come up with a brainstorm. Well, we need to kill an animal and soak it in blood and then take this coat of many colors. Hello, church. So take it back to Jacob and say, Jacob, your boy is dead. They put Joseph in a pit, and the Ishmaelites come by. Where are they going? They're going to Egypt. And they say, so they sell him. They sell Joseph as a slave. They bring him out of the pit. He's helpless, but he's not hopeless. They bring him out of the pit, and they convey him to Egypt. They don't know it, but they are following and fulfilling the love of God, the will of God. Later on, you know the story. He goes from the pit to the prison to the palace. See, that's God's, isn't that beautiful? If you get in the pit and say, oh, what can I do? I don't know. I don't have no. See, there's always that, you got to deal with that quitting spirit. Hello? You got to deal with that ineffective attitude. What can I do? What's the use of? No use in throwing in the towel until you have to. I can do all things. Did you remember me telling you about the school teacher with the bury and I can't? That's all some of us need to do is just bury I can't. Because with God we can. Amen. So Joseph, nobody's whispered to Joseph. Nobody. He's operating on the premise of a dream. That's all. He's had a dream. He knows it was an unusual dream. He knows it's a significant dream. It's a spiritual dream. But that's all. Nobody's whispered in his ear and said, take whatever they give you. Take whatever they hand out. Cope with it. Deal with it because I got good things for you. God said when you get saved, he's got good things for you. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, I think good thoughts about you. See, there are some people that don't believe God wants to treat people good. Their concept of God is that he's mean. He's harsh. Hard to deal with. And they take some scripture out of, you know, I know there's some stern scriptures in the Bible. But I know that there's some other scriptures that balance it out. And I know Jeremiah 29:11 said, I know the thoughts that I think about you. They're good thoughts. I just want to tell you right now, I know God's thinking some good things about us right now. Hey, am I talking to you? God bless your heart. I just believe God is saying, look at them. They're in church. They might be mighty quiet tonight, but who knows? The night ain't over. God thinks good thoughts. Do you know that God enjoys our singing in the book of Nahum? He rejoices with singing. I don't know what he's singing right now, but he's... And this individual asked me, where is it in the Bible that God thinks good thoughts? I said, Jeremiah 29:11. And it's there, amen? Now, that doesn't mean he condones wrongdoing, but he's got a heart towards us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Am I talking to you? So Joseph could not get out, but God had a way to get him out. And God brought those Midianites by, took him down to Egypt, and he finds where. Do you remember there's a clause in the life of Joseph? There's one clause that is repetitious, but God was with him. Stage one, but God was with him. Stage two, but God was with him. And Joseph goes through and he ends up in Potiphar's house, and you know the drama. He lied on, locked up in prison. He didn't get a political petition. The butcher and the butler.